This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Since July, the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel has been reporting on a series of stories about tourists at Mexican resorts who have experienced mysterious blackouts resulting in robbery, assault, rape, and death. The culprit? Tainted alcohol, although exactly how it was tainted is another question.
Raquel Rutledge has been the driving force behind the series, which continues to uncover new information on these incidents and the ways in which authorities have tried to conceal them. Raquel, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me.
How did this story first come across your desk?
Abby Connor drowned in January. She's from Pewaukee. And people in the community were talking about it. And I was hearing some circumstances of the death and some of the questions around it. And I thought, that doesn't sound right. When I heard that when the family tried to get answers as to how the drowning occurred, that the hotel wasn't providing answers, wasn't allowing the bartenders to be interviewed and not allowing guests to be interviewed. And then when I heard the police weren't investigating, and then I heard the FBI wasn't doing anything. And I think as Americans, we often think, you know, if I'm traveling abroad and I die under mysterious circumstances, that somebody will investigate that. And I heard that wasn't the case. And I just thought, that doesn't sound right. I need to look into this. So I reached out to the family, and they wanted answers as well. And as they told me their story, I just thought, I need to press on this and see what I can find out.
What happened to Abby?
Abby is a 20-year-old young woman from Wisconsin who is a UW-Whitewater student. She and her older brother, Austin, went with their mother and stepfather to an Iberostar resort, a high-end, all-inclusive resort near Playa del Carmen in the Riviera Maya area of Mexico. It was winter break, and they had arrived in the afternoon, threw their bags in their hotel room and went to the pool. And their mom, Ginny McGowan, and stepfather, John McGowan, went to the beach. And Abby and Austin went to the swim-up bar and at the pool. You know, they had a few shots of tequila. Ginny and John ended up meeting them at the pool, and they were all there together. So everything seemed okay. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. Ginny and John said they were going back to their room to get ready for dinner, and they would meet the kids in the lobby at 7. Ginny and John were in the lobby waiting for them at 7, and then they, 7:15 came, 7:30 came, and there was no sign of Abby or Austin. After a little bit, Ginny went to the front desk and said, "Hey, could you call the kids' room?" The woman behind the desk became flustered and said, she went and grabbed her manager and said, "We've been looking for you, and come with us. There's been an accident." So they put them in a cab and sent Ginny and John to the hospital. And when they arrived, they found Austin had been sedated, heavily sedated. He had a big gash on his head, and he didn't recall what had happened at all. And they found that Abby was on life support. And they said that the two of them were found in the pool. Abby was floating face down, and Austin was in the process of drowning. He was out of it, totally disoriented. And they pulled him out and were able to revive him, get him back. But Abby, they were not. So they transferred her to a hospital in Cancun and then ultimately to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where she died several days later. You know, they had issues with the hospital, tens of thousands of dollars that they had to pay before they even transferred Abby from the Playa del Carmen Hospital to the Cancun Hospital. And then before they left, it was upwards of $50,000 that they ended up spending, if I recall correctly. Once we published that, we raised a lot of questions. Could they have just had too much to drink and both nearly drowned? Where was everyone else at the resort? This is a resort pool, and it's 6:30, 7 o'clock. What did the bartenders have to say? Did anyone investigate, what they were drinking? Had they done anything else? And I was able to interview Austin, months later, before anyone really understood what might be happening in the big picture. He said, "Yeah, we had about four shots," he thought. He's a bigger guy, and Abby is quite a bit smaller, and he said they drank about the same amount, so you wouldn't expect the two of them to black out at the same time. And again, I later heard many stories like that.
When did all the other stories start emerging? When did it become clear that this wasn't just Abby?
Yeah, I mean, very quickly after we published that first story, which was in the middle of July, I began getting emails and phone calls immediately from other people who said, this happened to us. You know, we were in Mexico and we had a small to moderate amount of alcohol. And, you know, my husband and I blacked out at the same time. And we were robbed or we were assaulted. And I just got numerous calls from couples and other individuals who said something wasn't right. I felt like I had been drugged. Especially there were a number of people that were from Wisconsin, because being a regional paper, it had gotten, you know, a lot of attention here. And a lot of the Wisconsinites say, you know, we're from Wisconsin. We know how to drink. This is different. Or especially some of the younger college people say, you know, I can drink three shots, I can drink four shots. I do not black out. That's not what happens.
When did it become clear that it was the alcohol?
As I talked to more and more people, that's what they said, is I was taking my second drink and I had a couple of sips of that, and all of a sudden it just, you know, I started seeing stars and just went blank. I kept hearing that. And so what it actually is with the alcohol, I don't know. We don't know. We're trying to find that out. We're still investigating that. Whether it's counterfeit alcohol that's like bootleg moonshine type stuff, which we know, we later learned again, Mexico has huge problems with regulation of their alcohol. There's 36% of the alcohol consumed in Mexico is illicit, which means it's just made under unregulated circumstances. It does not mean it's all contaminated, certainly, but it's produced under unregulated circumstances, so it could just be bypassing the tax stamps. But it also could be made in big vats with just, you know, industrial alcohol with tequila flavoring. Some of the folks I've talked to that work in the liquor industry in Mexico have said that. So we don't know, and I suspect, after talking to dozens and dozens of people, I suspect that there are multiple things happening, that it isn't just, oh, it's contaminated alcohol, or, oh, it's, you know, you were drugged by a bartender. It appears that there are a number of things happening at once.
How has the Mexican government responded to this? How have the hotels responded to these, you know, accusations and these situations?
Yeah. The hotels have completely denied any culpability whatsoever. They say that they, you know, they have solid channels of distribution, that they only purchase sealed bottles. But again, we know it's a problem in Mexico. The government has a program that encourages hotels, restaurants, bars to destroy their liquor bottles when they're empty, to actually like break them, because there's a big black market for those bottles because they get refilled with counterfeit alcohol. So that is a known problem. But the government of Mexico was fairly quick to jump in and appear as though they're doing something. And we don't really have the full details. They did do a sweep within several weeks of us publishing, I believe it was our second story. They went through some of the tourist hotspots and they did a check and they confiscated alcohol. And they did find, they shut down two places. One of them was a lobby bar in that same complex, the resort complex where Abby Connor was. For sanitation reasons, they did find some unlabeled alcohol. They tested it later and said, oh, it was nothing. We found it to be nothing. But again, this is July or August, so it doesn't speak to at all what was happening in January. So this doesn't mean, because you didn't find anything in there, that there wasn't a problem with the alcohol there. But that's kind of the way they're presenting it. And they also did confiscate 10,000 gallons of alcohol that they found to be made under, how do they worded it? It's poor manufacturing practices, is I think the way they described it. And they didn't disclose which distributor that was, the name of the company, they wouldn't say. So they've been, you know, I think trying to do some damage control. I mean, obviously they do, it is really important to them to not have this reputation or to resolve the problem, because they do count heavily on tourism in that area, and especially American tourists.
And it seems like amid these allegations, the Mexican government has also had this kind of PR push of, you know, come to our hotels, come to Mexico.
Absolutely. The governor of Quintana Roo, which is where Cancun and Playa del Carmen are, came to the United States not long ago and met with the State Department folks and other travel writers, tour operators, and launched a big PR blitz to say, you know, Cancun is safe. We want your business. We're on top of it. We're taking extra security measures, and there's nothing to worry about here.
And we can't quite verify that yet.
We can't verify the specifics of what they may or may not be doing.
How has our federal government responded to this?
Well, we have a number of legislators that are trying to get more answers. It was surprising to me to learn that our State Department is really very, very limited in its authority to do much of anything. If you go to the U.S. consulate in Mexico after having been robbed or assaulted looking for our help, they are not able to translate for you. They're not able to provide legal advice. They're not really able to do much for you. What they can do is connect you with the proper Mexican authorities, you know, if you didn't know where to go. But the other thing that we found in Mexico, the police they're not equipped like we think in America. When something goes wrong, call the police. That's a lot of our instinct. And that is not what happens there. The resorts are very reluctant to call police. In fact, on many occasions, they told people, you have to go if you want to file a police report. You have to go out to the police station and do that. And in the case of the Valeri family, Jamie and Rick Valeri, they had blacked out after 2.5 drinks. And she awoke to find that she had been assaulted. He had a broken hand. And they were terrified. I mean, they had been to Mexico a number of times. A lot of these folks are huge Mexico fans. They go regularly. And nothing has happened to them in the past. And they really just felt very safe up until their last event there. And with them, they just were terrified. They said, if this happened inside the walls of this resort where I felt like I was safe, I'm certainly not going to go get in a cab with a stranger and go to an unknown place with Mexican police that I don't know how genuine their efforts are to help.
Yeah. One of the more disconcerting parts of this story for me, and maybe this is as someone who uses internet review services a fair amount, I think like most people, is the censorship of these reviews by TripAdvisor. Do we know right now how many people actually wrote in reviews about these incidents?
Not specifically about their troubles at Mexican resorts. We don't have any data because we don't know. I only know the folks that contacted me. And so initially when we wrote that first story about TripAdvisor's policies, we had about a dozen people that had, in the course of just investigating the Mexico stuff, there were a dozen people that said to me in my interviews, you know, hey, we tried to warn other folks. We tried to let people know about this, but we were rejected. Our reviews and our comments were rejected by TripAdvisor. And I thought, that doesn't sound right. I had never heard that. I would not expect that either. And then since we've published that story, again, now many, many more people have come forward to say, we tried to post stuff. We tried to warn people about other, you know, similar events all around the world, not just in Mexico.
How has TripAdvisor responded to this?
They acknowledge that that is a weak spot for them in terms of how they define hearsay, how they their family-friendly guidelines. Their guidelines for posting have evolved and changed. So they are quick to offer up some solutions on that side of things. Yeah, I mean, they've come up with a new system where they hope to warn travelers by putting they're calling it a badge. It's basically a red banner type warning on certain properties, certain establishments that have been the subject of media coverage for health and safety or discrimination reasons. Basically, they've got three categories where they plan to do that. Now, it remains to be seen. I mean, the hotel industry has a lot of questions, understandably, as to how these badges will be applied. You know, because what's the criteria? Who's deciding? It's an internal committee. There are plenty of places that have had media attention that maybe haven't been flagged yet. And so how they're going to actually manage that is, I think, remains to be seen.
What were the kinds of issues that were in the TripAdvisor reviews that got them booted from the site in the first place?
Yeah, three main things. I mean, hearsay. And so that is, you know, if you say, we heard or my husband said, they want firsthand accounts. Again, a noble sort of approach is like you want people that have actually been there. But the problem with that initially, too, is, I mean, they don't really verify. They don't verify, actually. They don't really verify. They actually do not verify whether you've actually stayed at this place or not. And the reasoning for that is that They want people that didn't actually pay the bill to be able to weigh in terms of verifying. If you only allow people to comment that actually paid the bill, then you limit the rest of the family members or friends who also came but maybe didn't pay. That's their position on that whole verification issue. So the definition of hearsay, though, every person that I interviewed, they were firsthand accounts. This happened to them. Now, there's one woman who, you know, when she blacked out, she had to say, well, my husband helped me out of the pool or whatever because she was blacked out. I mean, is that hearsay? The other reason that they cited for taking posts down or limiting them was the family-friendly guidelines. They don't want graphic descriptions of crimes and injuries and that sort of thing. And so, but like I said, that has changed a bit to where they're allowing more. In the case of the sexual assaults, there was not graphic description in the first place. So I didn't fully understand that answer didn't, like the family-friendly guideline for the sexual assault of Christy Love, it was not graphic in any way. And the other second thought I have, I guess, on that is like you don't typically have your children booking your trips. So you're not going to have a lot of young people under 16 or even under 18 probably reading this because that's not what they do.
Does even saying sexual assault, does even saying rape, does that count as, did they explain that, if that counts as being graphic?
No, it was not defined. And so now, to their credit, what they're doing now is they're going to be very specific. And when you submit a review, it'll pin the exact words and the exact sentence. And so you'll know specifically, because that was another complaint that I heard from people. They said, hey, hearsay, but they didn't tell me which part of my review or comments were hearsay. So now they are going to specify.
Okay. So what's next for you?
Gosh, we have another number of other angles to explore on this whole thing. Still looking for answers, still talking to people that are knowledgeable about what's been happening there of late. There's a lot of crime that's going on. There's a lot of other issues kind of exploding in that region right now.
All right. Well, Raquel, I wish you luck, and thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Oh, thank you so much for your interest in the story. It's important. Thanks.
Raquel Rutledge is an investigative journalist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's been reporting on the deaths and injuries sustained at Mexican resorts in a series of reports since July. There are links and more information at WUWM.com.